Hello and welcome to our program, Business News, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Dennis Martin, and during the next half hour, I will be reading articles from the San Antonio Business Journal, here on OWL Radio. Well, today we're going to start off on the moon. San Antonio company lands contract to build construction robots on the moon. The article is written by Sergio Padilla, editorial intern, San Antonio Business Journal. Astroport Space Technologies Incorporated landed a contract with NASA that's out of this world. The company, led by founder and CEO Sam Jimenez, will develop autonomous robots to excavate a small portion of the moon and use its topsoil, called regolith, to create bricks for landing pads and a lunar base. We're developing the ability to have a long-term outpost there and the beginnings of the base, he said. Robots are slated to arrive on the moon by 2026, with construction ending in 2030. Some processes, such as what level of autonomy the robots will have, or if crew on the International Space Station will control them, are in early development. Astroport initially contacted NASA in May of 2021 and began the development of the robots' furnace systems. It also has other contracts pending approval with NASA, including a vacuum chamber to melt bricks, another robot called a brick bot, and a scaled-down version of its construction robots. The contract is a partnership with the University of Texas at San Antonio, as well as engineering help from the Australia's University of Adelaide's Andy Thomas Center for Space Resources, and consulting from California's Venturi Astrolab Incorporated. The role of UTSA's researchers is to help understand what temperatures needed to create the moon bricks while not destroying the materials. Astroport was chosen to participate in a European startup support program in April and was chosen for a Space Force-sponsored innovation challenge last year. Astroport's parent company, Exploration Architecture Corporation, was selected in 2020 to help Elon Musk's SpaceX expedite cargo logistics into space. Astroport declined to share financial details. And back down here on Earth, meet the 2022 Women's Leadership Awards. A celebration of San Antonio women carving a path for themselves and future generations. It has not been an easy path for the honorees in this year's Women's Leadership Awards. While achieving success and realizing your dreams always comes with challenges, women must often overcome roadblocks and setbacks that men don't face, all of which makes their accomplishments that much more impressive. From government and law to real estate and technology, this year's class of winners have all excelled in their respective fields through hard work, determination, and grit. I force myself to become comfortable with being uncomfortable, is how one honoree described her career path. I kept intentionally putting myself in situations that required me to face a challenge and address it. That's good advice for anyone. Developing a strong mind and learning to embrace hardships, to get up and try again and again after you fail, is a critical skill both in work and life. Those who don't develop that tenacity, who avoid challenges because they seem too scary or difficult, rarely get very far in life. The women we are celebrating are examples of how hard work truly pays off. They've not only carved a path for themselves, but for other women as well. When women are in leadership positions, with the autonomy and resources to create spaces and cultures that reflect their experiences, statistically, we see better policies, reductions in pay gaps, and, with the right mentorship, more women advancing into leadership positions, said one honoree. Amplifying this by advancing more women of color, especially black women, and we're cooking with gas. The San Antonio Business Journal is honored to celebrate the 2022 Women's Leadership Awards winners. In addition, we're recognizing Tracy Wolf, known as a fierce advocate for children, families, and educators across the region, with a Lifetime Achievement Award. We're also proud to recognize Kate Rogers, Executive Director of the Alamo Trust, as Woman of the Year. Congratulations to all the winners. Through your drive and willingness to help others, you're making San Antonio a better place to live and work, and in the process, leading the way for future generations. The 2022 Women's Leadership Awards. Lifetime Achievement winner, Tracy Wolf. Though Tracy Wolf and her husband, Bexar County Judge Nelson Wolf, are entering the next phase of their long public lives, she isn't slowing down anytime soon. The Business Journal is proud to honor her with the 2022 Women's Leadership Lifetime Achievement Award. There's little doubt that she will remain a fierce advocate for children, families, and educators across the region. While her love of family and community began early, her passion for helping families in need began with a chance meeting, which turned into a legacy built on more than three decades of public service. While in high school in Wharton, a town of about 5,000 residents, 60 miles west of Houston, she, her sister, and two brothers were surrounded by family. I had a very stable family environment. We saw our extended family and cousins every Sunday when we went to my grandparents' house, she said. It was a very traditional way of life. After graduating high school, she went to college in Kingsville at the Texas College of Arts and Industries, which later became Texas A&M University, Kingsville, and got her degree in communications. Soon after, she was hired to work for Texas A&M, helping with community relations in San Antonio. I met this nice young man, Mayor Henry Cisneros, she remembered. It was a turning point for both she and Cisneros, who had recently been elected mayor. In the San Antonio mayoral election of 1981, the 33-year-old Cisneros became the first Mexican-American mayor of San Antonio since 1842, and the second Hispanic mayor of a major U.S. city. He was developing a program he called Target 90, and he saw potential in Wolf. "So I went to work for Henry," she said, which was a total education by itself. She was living a self-described sheltered life on the north side. The events Cisneros began to set up to promote his Target 90 plan took her across the city, meeting people and hearing stories she had never had a chance to hear before. "What I began to realize was the state of children and families in the city," she said. "I got to see it. Not every child got to go to kindergarten. Not every kid had enough clothes or food. I had no idea. I came from this nice middle-class background. I said to myself, if I can ever do anything about that, I will." During this time, she met her future husband, Nelson Wolf, then a former state representative and state senator. Nelson Wolf was volunteering for Target 90. He would eventually chair that initiative, and Tracy's communication skills impressed him enough to make her campaign manager for his successful 1987 city council. They got married soon after, both for the second time in 1989. She lived up to her promise to come to the aid of families in need consistently since those early days of Target 90 meetings. Her office estimates She's raised $20 million in her pursuit of family-focused support in the city. She rallied hundreds of volunteers to man phone banks to raise money for proposed downtown library. Eventually, she helped raise $5 million to help build and stock the distinctive red 240,000-square-foot Central Library, sometimes affectionately called the Big Enchilada. Wolf helped establish the Children's Coalition, which helps daycare providers, workers, and family members connect with local businesses to create awareness for better quality childcare for workers. She served on the committee to create the city's first children's museum, which eventually produced the Duseum on Broadway Street. In 2001, when Nelson Wolf was elected to Bexar County Judge, she began the Hidalgo Foundation, which was the beginning of her proudest achievements. The foundation began with three goals: the restoration of the Bexar County Courthouse, within that a new county children's court, and an educational initiative called Bibliotech to create an all-digital public library. When Wolf first visited the children's court, she was appalled at its state. "I saw all these people standing in front of this little room, probably a 900 square foot room, screaming at each other and very upset," she said. "You could feel the violence and see children crying." As the renovation began at the courthouse, Wolf enlisted help from Judge Peter Sakai and Judge John Spezia, who laid out a plan to significantly expand the court and provide safe spaces for children who desperately needed peace. With $4 million raised in part by the Hidalgo Foundation, the full renovation was completed. The Bexar County Child Abuse and Neglect Courts now span more than 10,000 square feet and have become a model for similar family courts. In 2013, the third goal was realized as the county celebrated the first bibliotech and all-digital public library. The first location was about 5,000 square feet inside a Bexar County building at 3505 Pleasanton Road. It provided access to computers, iPads, group study rooms, and access to more than 20,000 e-books. Another location, this time on the west side at 2003 South Zarzamora, opened in 2015. The third opened on the east side at 1203 North Walter Street in 2018. A fourth location is set to open in Cass Tech High School downtown. While those initial three goals have been accomplished some 20 years later, Wolf sees little reason to end the Hidalgo Foundation. "We've got our foot in so many doors," she said. "I plan to keep it going." Her advice for young women hoping to follow her lead is to remain focused on what matters most. "Don't let people pull you away from where your heart is," she said. "That's what I did when I realized the state of children and families. That's where my heart is. Now, the need is everywhere. You have to stay committed." And the article was written by Ed Arnold, Managing Editor, San Antonio Business Journal. And now, an article about the Woman of the Year, Kate Rogers. Kate Rogers said the COVID-19 pandemic gave her time to reflect on her priorities. She called it a midpoint of her career, and now she wants to spend the rest of her time and talent doing things that I want to do and hopefully making a difference in the world. Rogers changed jobs in 2021 and is now the executive director of the Alamo Trust Incorporated. As a Texas native, she calls it the most iconic attraction in the state. Rogers joined the nonprofit organization during a time of change. She will oversee the last stages of the $300 million Alamo Master Plan, which include fundraising for a world-class Alamo Museum and Visitor Center and the construction of the Exhibition Hall and Collections Building. Welcome Wilson Jr., chairman of the Alamo Trust Board of Directors, said, "Kate is a business leader and change agent. She is the kind of leader the Alamo needs right now." He added, We have the utmost confidence in Kate's ability to lead the Alamo through the next stages of the plan. The Alamo Trust has indicated the museum is on track to open in 2026. We must preserve this history and share the stories of all who lived, fought, and died at the Alamo, and we will be doing it in a way that speaks to our shared history and its continued relevance. Rogers told the Business Journal last year. Rogers said she hopes by the end of this year to cut the ribbon on the exhibition hall and collection hall, and then by the end of 2023 to cut the ribbon at the new education center at the Alamo. She joined the Alamo Trust after spending nearly two decades with HEBLP. She said her time at the grocery chain helped her evolve as a leader. She credits HEB with teaching her to have empathy. I learned many important lessons about what it means to have a heart for people. When it comes to women in leadership, she said it's important to have a variety of voices at the table when dealing with challenges and making decisions. Women have a different way of seeing the world based on their lived experiences and values and bring a unique perspective to the team. When asked what advice she would give to her younger self, Rogers said, "Don't be in such a hurry and take time to smell the roses." She added that women are great multitaskers, but that it can dilute the focus. She reminds young women to be present and that the journey is what matters, not the destination. The San Antonio Business Journal is proud to award Kate Rogers the 2022 Woman of the Year Award. And the article was written by Jeanette Zaria, Assistant Managing Editor, San Antonio Business Journal. San Antonio City Council to consider record $3.4 billion budget proposal. The fiscal 2023 proposal includes breaks for taxpayers, an energy rebate, and employee incentives. And the article is written by W. Scott Bailey, Senior Reporter, San Antonio Business Journal. San Antonio City Manager Eric Walsh and his staff are proposing a $3.4 billion municipal budget for fiscal 2023. If approved by the City Council, it will be a new record in municipal spending in San Antonio. The proposal includes $1.5 billion for the general fund budget and $1.2 billion in restricted funds. It also calls for $641 million in capital spending, covering a variety of infrastructure projects, including the expansion of San Antonio International Airport, as well as improvements to the Alamo Dome and Henry B. Gonzalez Convention Center. The proposed budget also includes nearly $95 million in property tax relief and $50 million in CPS energy rebates to assist consumers dealing with high energy costs. While folks have seen extraordinarily high utility bills, we have seen extraordinarily high revenue, City Manager Eric Walsh said, noting CPS revenues are about $75 million over initial projections. The city's proposed budget also invests in the retention and recruitment of municipal employees, raising the entry wage to $17.50 an hour and providing a 5% across-the-board wage increase for all civilian workers. It would also cover a minimum 2% market rate adjustment with certain jobs receiving higher increases to account for wage compression and market demand. Earlier this year, we saw probably the highest point in the last 6 years with the volume of voluntary turnover, employees leaving to go someplace else, Walsh said. The biggest thing I've been concerned about is making sure that we have positions filled. Because of the labor market, we don't have the luxury of not doing something. As a retention incentive, the proposed budget calls for a 20% reduction in the cost of medical care premiums for employees hired after January 1, 2009, and no increases in premiums for workers hired prior to 2009. Last August, city staff proposed a $3.1 billion municipal budget. A few weeks later, city council signed off on what was then a record budget for San Antonio. According to Walsh, costs associated with the city's police department are not the leading contributor to a larger proposed budget for fiscal 2023. The growth of the budget is not being driven by the largest department, which hasn't always been the case, Walsh said. Massive south side development set to bring more homes near Texas A&M University San Antonio. The second phase will be ready for builders by January, South Star Communities says. The article is written by Ramzi Abu Ghalioum, reporter, San Antonio Business Journal. Development has begun for Vita San Antonio's second phase, which will add 166 single-family homes and 6 townhomes to the 600-acre Southside community. Home sales for the first phase, which included 268 single-family homes, in various stages of completion, are now coming online. The Master Plan Communities developer, New Braunfels-based South Star Communities, is anticipating the second phase being ready for home builders in January. The San Antonio Planning Commission will review platting for the second phase this week. It's going to be the same 3 builders for the second phase, said Gretchen Howell, Senior Vice President of Community Development at South Star. The builders are Highland Homes, Lennar, and Perry Homes. Another builder is under contract for 6 townhomes, which will be built along University Way. Howell declined to name the builder, saying it was too early to make a formal announcement. The community, nestled between Texas A&M University San Antonio and Palo Alto College, set a goal of 4,000 housing units at the end of a 12-year development plan, including 1,000 student housing units, 1,400 apartment units, and 1,600 homes. It's the American dream to own a home, Howell said, but we look at this as a place which will attract people who want to live in all sorts of housing. The developer also has ambitious plans for a greenway, an arts commission, and amenities, which Howell says will not belong only to the community, but to the public. We've been in the South Side since 2014, she said, and it's what this area deserves. Potluck CEO, Karaki at Pearl Extension of Years of Development. Articles written by Carly Williams, digital producer, reporter, San Antonio Business Journal. South Texas-inspired restaurant Karaki will open at Pearl over Labor Day weekend. The 380-seat restaurant will open at 239 East Grayson Street, the former space of Liberty Bar, which moved to the King William neighborhood south of downtown in 2016, on September 2nd. It's fundamentally created a way we participate and connect in this incredible building, said Elizabeth Flowersill, CEO of Potluck Hospitality, which owns the new spot. It's featuring 3 main spaces, the Kakiri House, the Rock House, and Courtyard Back Porch. It's really one of our flagship concepts. It's the embodiment of Potluck, she said. It will be the first development under Pearl's restaurant and bar offshoot, Potluck Hospitality. Potluck's hospitality concepts include Asian fusion restaurant, Best Quality Daughter, in partnership with Jennifer Hua Doberton, Brasserie Mon Chouchou, operated by Southerly Hospitality Group, Food Hall at Bottling Department, Park Bar and Weekend Markets, Stable Hall Music Venue in partnership with Wood Hall is also planned for Pearl. Karaki will serve Gulf seafood, Rio Grande-inspired botana, platters, barbacoa, and brisket, It will operate MASA and cocktail programs. After its debut, Fairoso said she and her team will hone in on preparation for Potluck's 8th and 9th concepts opening later this year, Ladino, a Mediterranean concept, and Full Goods Diner, a scratch-made Texas kitchen. We're rolling out Karaki and these concepts as an extension born from the work we've been doing for years, said Fairoso. Sana Studio coming to the Dominion. The expansion follows an uptick in health-conscious destinations in the Alamo City. This article is also written by Carly Williams. Perspire Sauna Studio, a Costa Mesa, California headquartered sauna retreat, recently filed with the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation for its first San Antonio location. The new sauna studio at 21803 West Interstate Highway 10 Suite 108 in the Shops at Dominion Crossing. The company did not respond to a request for the name of the local franchisee involved in the project slated to be completed in late October. Work on the project is expected to begin August 15th. San Antonio-based Carta Real Estate LP, which owns the Shops at Dominion Crossing, did not return calls for more information. According to the filing information, the existing suite next to Club Pilates and Stretch Lab will be renovated with new HVAC system, new partition walls, flooring, finishes, electricity, and lighting. A local contractor and design firm were not named, but according to Perspire's website, the company uses local contractors for all build-outs. The North San Antonio location will be the chain's fourth in Texas. It operates three in Austin. Three other Lone Star locations are also in the works, according to its website. Franchising at Perspire requires an initial investment of $447,067 to $590,667, according to its website. A minimum $150,000 liquid investment and minimum net worth of $500,000 is required for all new franchisees. The businesses use color light therapy and red light therapy, methods of sauna treatment that use electromagnetic light rather than traditional steam treatment to heat the body. In press releases distributed earlier this year, the brand, co-owned by Lee Braun and Ken Arsenian, announced its plans to open 40 new studios across the U.S. by the end of 2022. Founded in 2010, Perspire currently has over 21 locations throughout the country. The new sauna joins other wellness concepts that have recently opened on the north side. That looks like all the time I have. So, let me say, you have been listening to Business News on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Dennis Martin saying goodbye from Owl Radio.